In times of struggle, we must remember those who carve their own path. Those who treat the word can't like an undesirable relative. The unfetterable. The makers, shakers, and bakers. They are the
Faces of Virtue!
Greetings and welcomes, listeners, to this final installment of this Crowley Time mini-series where Tom Crowley, speak to people in the business of betterment. Betterment of their lives, their souls, and their communities. Sweet, buttery betterment. Our final subject is Gabby Egg of Smethurst in the West Midlands, who made a startling discovery which might just heal the troubled heart of her community. Many thanks to Gemma Arrowsmith for putting us in touch with Gabby. Gabby Egg, hello. Thank you so much for speaking to us today.
A pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm very, very excited to speak to you. Well, for a number of reasons, but before we kick off, tell us where you hail from.
I'm from a little place called Smethurst. As I don't really know, it's near Tipton,
right,
in the West Midlands.
Okay. You're probably known to some of our listeners already because Gabby Egg, of course, you were a champion darts player. You were in the very finals of the West Midlands Women's League of darts. Tell us about that. When did your love affair with darts begin?
Well, we're not really here to talk about my darts career, though, are we?
No, but I'm sort of building a bit of a picture of, you know, the profile.
Everybody always asks about the darts. They're always, Gabby, tell us about the arrows and all of that.
And I'm asking you now, Gabby, tell us about the arrows. So please do tell us about the...
Well, all right, fine. So I started playing darts at school because I wasn't a very sporty kid.
Okay.
You know.
All right.
But I'd got a good throwing arm.
Mm. So how did you discover that? Was there one event that you can remember when?
It was javelin, and they were like, "You've got a really good arm, but the javelin's too heavy." So the natural thing was to downsize.
So the too big javelin.
Yeah, kid
too
was
heavy.
Hurt.
Oh, because you undershot.
I undershot, and so the lad that had gone out to collect, he was collecting it. They were like, the javelin will definitely get past him.
Yeah.
Was what they thought.
How far away was he at the time?
A few meters.
Okay. So you really undershot.
I really undershot.
Okay.
And, you know, it was on the news. But anyway, the natural next stage.
I'm
was,
sorry. I just want to get a better picture of this incident.
To.
But
we
just
don't
where
have
was
to.
The, where was the boy?
There was
it a boy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where was the boy hit with the javelin?
It was through the neck.
Oh.
It was straight through. He was bending down. You literally go to your library and look up on those machines. You can look at
the Daily News. You can find
it. You can find it.
Okay.
It's quite a graphic. I don't know how the press were allowed to get it really on the front page, but.
Do you know what happened to that lad? Do you know where he's gone on?
He's in local government.
Really?
Yeah, he's done all right.
Oh, okay.
For himself.
And he still talks.
We don't talk.
Well, I wouldn't imagine you would, but he's okay. He's, you know.
Yeah, but he can talk.
Well, that's fantastic. But
yeah.
So, whatever the case, you were then, I believe, put onto your school's darts team at the time, which began your professional career.
Correct.
And you went to university on a darts scholarship, I believe.
Yeah, I didn't even realise those existed, but...
Me neither, till I read about you.
Yeah.
And it says you went to Cambridge here on the darts scholarship. Yeah.
There was, you know, everyone knows about like the sort of choral scholarships and the rowing scholarships.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Not many people know about the Cambridge Darts Scholarship.
Mm. And what did you study at Cambridge?
Astrophysics.
Oh, okay. So that quite a diversion from darts. So did you find that studying astrophysics, understanding the movement of the heavenly bodies and
I didn't attend a lot of lectures.
You were mainly in it for
I
the darts?
I was mainly in it for darts.
Okay. All right. And how did you come out? Did you get your degree in astrophysics as well?
It was a third, but that... I want to be clear, that counts.
That's a pass, isn't it?
That is a pass.
Okay, so you're there at Cambridge, you've got your DART scholarship getting you through the tuition and everything.
Yeah.
And you still get to walk away with a BSc in astrophysics.
Absolutely, yeah.
Even if it is a third.
Well, you don't say that because it's like, it counts. It's still a degree.
It's still a degree. Even though it's a third. So during your darts career, it was quite a big deal that you were from Smethurst because, suffice to say, you are the first person to really make a name for themselves from Smithers without that name being absolutely wreathed in ignominy.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been so many dreadful stories about people from Smethurst. I mean, I tried to look up anything positive about Smethurst except you. And I have to say, I really did. I was stumped, as was Mr. Google.
That is fair. Yeah, because it was called like the West Midlands town plagued by horror. I think that was the front of the, again, that was the same newspaper.
That's it. I mean, I've got here 1911, the Smethurst goat strangler.
That's right.
Killed up to 308 goats.
Weirdly.
With his bare hands.
But then weirdly, there was a resurgence 100 years later.
You're
2011,
joking.
All of the goats.
A copycat?
Again.
Or was it the
Who
same
knows?
Guy?
Well, this is the thing.
He
Who
was
knows?
Never caught, was he?
So he was never caught, so.
Could be the same, like, 120-year-old, or even, like, 110. Who knows how young someone can get started goat strangling, especially if they're from Smethurst. And there were some others, weren't there? What else came up?
Just, you know, a lot of fires, you know. A lot of arsonists, you know, go. It's almost like the Cambridge of arson is Smethurst. You go, if you want to study arson, you go to Smethurst. So
and so you,
like,
you went from the Cambridge of arson to the Cambridge of
Cambridge.
The actual Cambridge. Yeah, indeed. I did read that in 2008, it was rated Britain's most on fire town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the problem, really. A lot of the local councillors kind of wore that with a badge of honour.
Right, so that was sort of encouraging copycats.
Well, I just don't think that... I think they're clinging to anything that sort of puts them on the map at this point. So they're going, most on fire town, great, let's put that on banners. And, you know, there was bunting and everything.
Mm.
And the bunting was later on fire.
Later on fire, yes, of course. And the bunting itself was made of kindling to celebrate the fact that the town is so often on fire.
I said that was a mistake.
Goodness. I mean, it sounds hellish. It sounds literally like hell.
That's not an unfair assessment.
So, Smethurst, it's known for goat strangling. It's known for largely being on fire for a surprising amount of time.
That's right. And the serial killer, of course.
Sorry?
Huh?
When was the... I didn't read about the serial killer. Who was that?
Throughout the 70s, 80s and 90s and 2000s...
Oh, my God.
There was an undeniable string of horrible murders, but...
Undeniable in that they happened.
In that they happened and that they were horrible.
Yeah, okay. Well, so, I mean, Smethurst, it's in trouble. It's not got the best reputation. No. The people love being on fire. They celebrate being on fire. It's bonfire night all year round, as I understand it. Yeah.
And you want to see it on bonfire night.
What is it like then?
It's actually really calm.
Well, I suppose that makes sense. They've got it out their system the rest of the year. So bonfire night. So if anything, just to make it in any way different... There's a stop lighting fires.
There's actually a ban.
Right. Oh, really?
Fires
okay.
That one night.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it logically extend that if they can ban it one night of the year, they could find a way to ban it the rest of the... I suppose they don't want to.
The statute's on fire, though. That's the problem.
So they can't read it?
They can't read it.
Wow. Smethurst is in trouble. Until 2012, mm-hmm. Gabby Egg reaches the women's final in the West Midlands Darts League and unfortunately is defeated...
Again, we don't need to go into this.
Well,
it's
again,
not really
I'm
part of the story.
Trying to build up a picture of what led you to become who you are now. So you actually left darts quite young for a woman in the league.
Yeah.
The oldest player in the Women's West Midlands League of Darts is 89, which is really amazing that an athlete's still competing at that age. I mean, I have seen a picture of her, and she is built like a brick shithouse.
Yeah,
still.
What's it, Kathy?
Kathy Cragg, yes, Kathy
Cragg,
still competing, reached the quarterfinals last year at 89 years old.
Right.
Incredible. And I mean, you...
Very violent woman.
Well,
I understand.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine. There's a sort of deadness in her eyes in a sort of way that, you know, you can tell when an actor's been aged up in a film,
mm-hmm.
you can tell they've still got young person's eyes.
Yes.
She hasn't.
She's the opposite.
She's got the oldest eyes I've ever seen.
Her eyes are like 130 or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Even though she's only 89. Yeah. But her right arm, she's right-handed when she plays darts. I mean, that could be the arm of a 20-year-old.
Correct.
And so I imagine...
That's how she gets you, because she comes in all deliberately doddering.
Right.
Oh, and you're opposite her going, well, this is going to be a walk in the park.
If she starts a fight with me.
Easy.
Yeah. And then that right hook comes in.
And then she will annihilate you, yeah.
Oh, God, right. Have you ever seen her in action, either in the darts arena or with her fists? Fist.
Yeah. I've played opposite her. I mean, she's an incredible sportswoman. And that's the thing, she'll... she'll just enter the arena and she really plays up the old lady card, always has done.
Right.
She's a bit like Judy Walters, you know, she's always been old.
I see. Old. So she's like wearing knitwear, she's got the kind of Judy Dench hair all short.
Correct. Or
the
she has a walker of late.
Oh, really? Yeah. Does she need it?
No.
Okay. It's just another weapon to use in the event of a throwdown.
Exactly.
Which I understand has happened quite a few times while she's been... Were you attacked while you were competing?
I managed to dodge out of the way.
Of the walker.
And an official was injured instead.
Was clobbered as a result. Okay. What was that like?
Bad?
Yeah, that works.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that covers it. Yeah, right. Okay. So, but never mind. You survive your encounter and you go on to reach the finals of the Women's League and you face somebody that you built up a bit of a rivalry with over your career.
Yeah. What Alma are we talking about?
Yes. Alma Arras. Of course, that's her performing name.
That's her performing name.
Yeah, because Arras, darts.
Arras,
that's
yeah.
industry slang, isn't it?
Yeah, for darts, have the Arras.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's quite big-headed to call name yourself after the...
After the sport, yeah.
But of course, she was born Alma Bog Crampton, which is less connected to darts at the very least. But anyway, you had faced off against Alma multiple times previously in your career.
Correct, yeah.
And finally, this was... I mean, I've got my copy of the Smethurst Daily News here, and the headline is just Library on Fire.
Yeah.
But below that, there's a little picture of you and a little picture of Alma. And so it made the front page,
yes,
but it was just superseded by the ongoing problem with the fires.
Yeah.
So under there, there's you two. So it was a big event, you facing off against Alma.
Well, she likes to hide her past, but she's quite posh. She's from Telford.
Telford.
Yeah.
Okay. So she must be a bit.
Yeah, a bit swanky.
Yeah. Okay.
And so she. It's
so she's
like,
probably from like a detached house or semi-detached, maybe, rather than a terrace.
Well, this is the thing. Like she's. I always think she's like the darts Jamie Oliver. You know how like Jamie Oliver is actually quite posh.
Oh, and cool, blimey, governor.
He does the accent.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like. She's a bit like that. She's actually from real posh.
Telford, right, yeah. Okay. But anyway, so Alma, as a part of her sort of duplicity, it says here in this Smethurst Daily News story, one thing that she used to do when she was, to freak her opponents out, when she was lining up at the hockey, she would sort of do the sort of 1, 2, 3 of, you know, you're about to throw the dart, you're winding up, one, two, and then just before three, there'd be like a 2.5 where she would turn towards her opponent and mime like flinging the dart into her eyes before then wheeling it around 180 degrees and then landing it on the board. And she actually missed quite a lot of shots by doing that, because obviously she's taking her eyes off the board there, which you're not meant to do. But she would leave her opponent so scarred by this, not physically, but emotionally, by that sort of horror, conceiving the dart flying into their head, that they would then themselves be a bit shaken. But you didn't fall for that most of the time.
I didn't. And, you know, one time she actually misjudged that and let it go on 2.5.
Really? But of course that wasn't really any concern of yours at the time you were facing down against Alma Arras at the West Midlands Women's League final. So she's tried this on you. She's tried the fake out of like, oh, is the dart going in your face or not? And you've not fallen for that, but she adapted, didn't she? And just played darts. And people are saying that's what gave her the slight edge over you in that final. Do you think that's true?
The problem with it was she was very good at playing darts.
Right. And how good were you?
I was almost as good as her.
Right. Which is why your score was nearly as high as hers.
Nearly as high as hers. But it was the nearly bit that is the significant. And that was the downfall, really. That what I should have done is concentrate at being better at darts.
Than Alma Arras. At least.
Exactly. Rather than focusing on not being freaked out by her tactics.
Her tactics. So in a way, her tactics did work because you were stealing yourself.
She got in my head and
was better at darts than you.
And that's the key thing.
Okay.
You see.
But as you say, we're not here to talk about
darts. We're not here to talk about darts.
So what is it?
Tell so much.
This is very exciting. Tell our listeners what it is since you retired from darts that you have done that is the reason we're speaking today.
Right. I think I might have discovered time travel.
I mean, that is amazing. That's really brilliant. Have you told any other sort of news outlet about this?
Well, weirdly, the Smethurst Daily News just aren't
interested.
I think they might be busy.
Well, I mean, they would be with their offices being on fire. Yeah, exactly. That's probably taking up a lot of their attention.
So this is an exclusive.
I mean, that is brilliant. That's, I mean, as you may know, this is the final edition of Faces of Virtue for this run.
Yeah.
So the fact that we get to end on a sort of an exclusive like this is, I'm sorry if I seem a bit excited, but I am.
I'm excited too.
Amazing. Okay, so tell us about how you discovered this.
Right. Okay, so I haven't built a machine or anything. Mm-hmm. I think it is a naturally occurring anomaly.
Oh my goodness. That's, right. Yeah, okay. Right.
That,
wow,
that is in Smethurst, and finally maybe Smethurst will go on the map for something good.
Brilliant.
Maybe.
It could even be tied in with the curse that leads to this many violent accidents and fires
Who
in
knows?
The area and that number of serial killers. But that's beside the point. Tell us about the day you discovered
that brilliant.
You had discovered time travel.
Brilliant. Okay, so it was like a normal Sunday.
Yeah.
Nothing was really happening.
No. Are you a churchgoer?
No, very much not so.
Okay, so in case anyone was picturing a religious observation as part of that normal Sunday.
Yeah, I think when you've witnessed so much death...
you start to just see an empty void in the universe.
Exactly.
Okay, absolutely.
So I was in my flat... on this just a normal Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and I was just on the sofa.
Yep.
Reading.
Yep, what were you reading?
Right. Just the newspaper. The
Smethurst Daily News. Yeah. Okay.
More horror.
Yeah, more horror. Seven cats found strangled in a bag.
You saw that one?
No, I was guessing. Oh. Is that actually what it said?
Well, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Weird.
So I'm worried that Smethurst might be rubbing off on me now. And
well, that's the thing. It gets in your mind. Just
hope
like,
I don't kill anyone.
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So, okay. It was a normal Sunday.
Okay.
I was reading the newspaper.
Seven dead cats in a bag.
Seven dead cats in a bag.
Right.
And it was noon. And then I carry on reading for a bit. I look at the clock again. It's 5 p.m.
Well, so, but that's later than noon. So you...
Yeah.
It had moved forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
I jumped forward in time.
To 5 p.m.?
Yeah.
Okay. So, have you tried to... So, okay. So, you're saying you've lost 5 hours.
Time goes quicker in certain areas of my flat.
How long did that feel like between noon and 5 p.m.?
Well, like, I was reading and I maybe dozed off a little bit.
Okay.
But then it was... I would say it felt like 3 hours, but it wasn't. It was 5.
Okay, where else have you noticed the
Isn't
anywhere
that
else?
Crazy.
Yeah. Have you tried to sort of recreate that there or in any other part of your home? Have you done a sort of control experiment to see?
Well, I'm a very scientific person, as you know.
As you, well, with your third class degree from Cambridge,
a Cambridge degree.
Cambridge degree of a third class variety.
Just listen.
Yep.
It's just, it doesn't matter. It's a pass. So you don't need to.
So I mean, ultimately the greater credit to your name is discovering time travel, probably, so we should get back to that.
Right, fair enough, that is true.
But anyway.
Okay, so there are some other... So, for example, in the kitchen,
yep.
time seems to move at a normal pace.
Okay.
In the shower, suddenly you'll realise you've lost an hour or half an hour's gone.
Oh,
did
you go and deliberately try and recreate that experience in the shower?
No, I was just like having a shower and I got out and went, hang on, I was in there for 45 minutes. That can't be right. Because time goes quicker.
Okay.
There.
And where else have you noticed? Anywhere else
mostly
in the house?
It's near my bed, the sofa and the shower are the focal points.
Of the phenomenon.
Yeah. And I think that's like the trifecta. But, you know, for example, the hallway, time travels normally.
Okay. So you go into the hallway.
1 second per second, yeah.
Yeah. You go into the hallway, you leave the hallway, the correct amount of time has passed.
Exactly.
And you've checked that against a control clock, like a...
Well, I'm just going on my instincts.
Instincts?
Just how it feels, because that's what relativity is about, isn't it? It's like Einstein was saying, if you put your hand on a beautiful woman, then it feels... like ages or something, but if you put that beautiful woman on an oven, then it feels like no time at all.
Right, I don't remember that being what
that
Einstein.
Is right up there with MC squared or whatever it is.
Was he a rapper?
What?
Look, never mind.
Okay.
Sorry. So theory of relativity aside, you've done these control experiments.
Yeah.
You've worked out, and so you're saying that time just does pass quicker.
Yes. in the, there is, it's like,
well, you mentioned your bed. I mean, can you give us an example of when you noticed it happening?
That
there?
Is bonkers. That's the most nuts one, is that you can just, you know, like you can lie there, and some nights you're just lying there awake and it feels like this is 7-8 hours. It's a long time. Yeah. And then other times it's like, zoom, it goes really fast and you're out the other end and it's, oh, hello, 8 hours has passed. It feels like about 2 hours. So,
I mean, I've noticed that. I mean, I think what you're describing is falling asleep.
You've noticed that.
Yeah, it's happened to me as well. You know, sometimes
you've got a time anomaly in your flat as well.
Well, no, I just think that sometimes you find it easier to go to sleep than others, and that's why time elapses at different rates, or seems to. You know, even if you just stay there for a nap, I mean, if you lie on your bed, you can nod off without knowing, and suddenly it's later.
Because you don't go to sleep in the shower, and this has happened to me in the shower.
You can. Are you sure you haven't fallen asleep in the shower?
I'm pretty sure.
Out of 10?
How confident am I?
How confident are you that you didn't fall asleep at the time?
I'm 9.5% confident.
9.5%?
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, so the first time you noticed this was on your sofa, you've got the paper. It's a Sunday. I'm just going to editorially mention the Sunday is the sleepiest day. That's science.
Well, that is not relevant to the story.
Okay, so you're reading the newspaper and suddenly you realise that the whole day's gone, basically. It's 5 p.m.
The whole day's just slipped away. Right. Because the time has fallen into this time anomaly. Space-time. The space-time has fallen into...
All right.
It's like the time is the fourth dimension. I should have paid more attention at university, but... Time is the fourth dimension, and that is what has been stripped away and has fallen into this anomaly.
Yeah. What's the fifth dimension again? Is it cheese?
Isn't it a film?
The fifth element.
Oh.
Never mind. Look, okay, so the fourth dimension is time. You're saying that as well as the normal dimensions of height, width, and depth.
Yeah.
The fourth dimension is affected.
Because height, width, and depth were not affected.
Everything seemed to be in proportion.
I checked my height. I'm still 5'4".
Okay.
My weight was unaffected. I did check and it had fluctuated a little bit. I had lost a couple of pounds, but I had had a large shit that morning.
Right, so that might account for that.
That could account for that. You can't.
Speaking of which, have you ever noticed this same time anomaly happen while you're sitting on the toilet?
That is so weird that you say that, because yes.
Right. Okay. So it's when you're sitting or lying, I'm going to guess on your sofa or on your bed.
Yeah.
Or when you're in the shower.
Standing. See, yeah. It's not the position, because it's standing, lying down, sitting.
Okay.
It's always just these points in the flat.
Sorry, this might seem unrelated on first glance, but have you found yourself a bit short of things to do since you've left the darts business?
Well, but... As I said at the beginning, this isn't really about the darts.
Just to check, I mean, well, as we know, you had quite a large Tizer endorsement deal while you were competing professionally in the Women's League.
Yeah, that's right, and that all went.
Yeah, gone, but yeah. You must have made a fair bit of money during that time.
Yeah, yeah.
So you haven't had to sort of race back into the world of work, you've largely been twiddling your thumbs.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't see why this is...
Right.
This isn't really related to what we're talking about, is it?
Do you have any friends?
Well, I mean, they were all in darts, so I don't really see them.
Okay. But have you had anybody around, a family member maybe, to corroborate the passage of time disparity?
Well, everyone's been very busy, but I'll get to that.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, Gabby, I mean, it's remarkable what you're telling me. Yeah.
I'm so excited because it's everything I've wanted. I'll be back on the world stage. Like when I pick up my Nobel Prize in physics for this.
Yep.
I'm going to be back on the world stage. And importantly, I'm finally going to put my town on the map. It's so exciting.
For something other than murder and fires.
Correct.
Right. Well, here's hoping that Smethurst does find its niche in this time revelation.
Exactly.
Shall we call it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all I need, I think. Thanks, Gabby.
Great.
Brilliant.
And this will go out when?
Oh, I'll let you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
It's...
And you'll be sort of sending the files of this to, like, The Guardian and the BBC?
Well, it goes out publicly, so I'm sure if they find any interest in it, they'll be in touch.
Shall I send it to them, or do you want to?
You're entirely free to. I have no control over that. I legally can't stop you.
Right. Maybe we should both do it, just so they can send it to them.
Well, I'll be in touch.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you off already?
Yeah, I'm just gonna grab that. Thanks. You don't have to.
Do you want to?
No, I'm just. Look, I think just it's best that the interview will speak for itself. So I think it's best that we just leave it.
Listen. I need this.
Yeah, I know. Okay? Look, and I'm gonna try and.
I need this to happen.
Why don't you? Right. Just when this is edited, it will go out on the podcast feed. I've sent you the link, haven't I?
Yeah, you sent me the link.
Yeah, okay, and
I didn't really get it all, but
well, that's a maybe, but
it's you really can strange, like the songs and anyway. But anyway,
right, okay, and if you you'll hear it when it comes out, right? And whatever you do with it after that point, that's up to you. Okay,
okay.
So I'm just gonna head off now.
Where are you going?
I'm just going. Right, okay. We'll speak soon. Okay, all right, bye. Bye then, bye. Thanks, Gabby. Bye. Bye.
Fucking hell. I had hoped for a genuine miracle to close out this series of inspiring tales, but as you might have been able to detect, I left Gabby's flat a little sceptical of her discovery. Still, if there's anyone from the Nobel Committee who wants to go and look at Gabby's shower, feel free. Who am I to stop you? Once again, I'd like to thank Gemma Arrowsmith for putting us in touch with Gabby. Gemma is a comedy powerhouse, most recently heard in Radio 4's The Now Show and The Lenny Henry Show, and seen in Sky's Code 404, Channel 4's Staffelet's Flats, BBC One and HBO's Tracy Ullman's Show, and countless other screen and radio appearances. You can find out more about Gemma at her website, gemmaarrowsmith.com, or at her Twitter, @Marrow. That's 2 M's, 2 A's, 2 R's, O W. And while you're at it, you must listen to her excellent climate change comedy podcast, No Planet B, available on all podcast apps. It's apocalarious. Thank you all for joining me for this huge swerve in the Crowley Time roadmap. I've been delighted by the response to Faces of Virtue, and there may well be another run of these, or perhaps another similar diversion, to come on this podcast feed in the future. For now, expect your next episode of Full Fat Crowley Time very soon. Until then, please do consider reviewing this show on your podcast app of choice or telling a good, good friend about it. Thanks also to all of those who've signed up to my Patreon at patreon.com/CrowleyTime. You won't be charged until the next full Crowley Time is released, but if you'd like to sign up in advance of that, you can still enjoy all the
bonus materials of times past!
In the meantime. But for now, they broke boundaries. They explored. They built. They were the
Faces of Virtue!